Welcome to Keyframe, the brand new show all about animation from the east to the west, all over the world. If it's moving pictures, we're covering it.
Yes,
If it moves, we will talk about it.
If exactly. It moves, we'll shoot it.
So, today we have the lovely Ben.
Hi.
Ben would be far too expensive to animate because he never stops moving.
He
will blow the budget in minutes.
See, I do think we should have the little Ben dolls that only move when you clap at them. You know, like the little dancing Groots and stuff like that.
I think you should get a dancing Ben that doesn't stop until you clap. Then he'll look at you for a second and carry on dancing.
Ben, you look at people while you dance anyway. It unnerves them. Remember what you did to Rob?
Yep.
Not this Rob. I am Rob. Not me. Other Rob. Yes. Yep. Anyway, this is Keyframe. It's the newest show from Geek Show Towers. So, we got all sorts of stuff to talk about today. But I think starting off with a little bit of news.
Animation news.
Yes, there is such a thing as animation news. Well, I think you'll find.
There's always things going on. So,
yeah. Starting off,
it's an awesome industry.
Off with Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yes.
Has reached a deal and is going to be co-produced by, co-produced in China.
Yes, it is. I'm trying to find the name of the studio. Where are you? According to the State General Administration of Press, Publication, Radio, Film, and Television, this is in China, website, DreamWorks Animation, its Chinese unit, Oriental DreamWorks, and their Chinese partners, which include China Media Capital, Shanghai Media Group, and Shanghai Alliance, acquired co-production status for the threequel on January 15th.
Now, a lot of people might be aware that there's been a few co-production deals, like things like Iron Man 3 was co-produced in China and actually has extra footage in the Chinese version. But this is also quite interesting because of the cultural significance of the panda in China. There are games like World of Warcraft which have only just been allowed to be for sale in China because they're very stringent on the portrayal of pandas.
Yes, they are. Kung Fu or otherwise.
So the fact that Kung Fu Panda has met the Chinese seal of approval.
Or maybe they've done this so it will meet the... So they can have an eye over it and make sure it meets the approval.
I mean, China's a massive market, so this could be a big step for DreamWorks.
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the franchise, actually.
Whether it'll pander more to an international audience or whether...
Ha, 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 ha. Oh, it's so funny, Dave. So funny.
Oh, I can't bear it.
Anyway, kind of East meets West bit of news here. Attack on Titan, the real escape game, has got its first trailer, and it's got it's supposed to be in New York, and they've mm-hmm. even given a date.
Oh, ooh. When is it going to be?
I'm trying to find out.
So Attack on Titan's been a huge international success.
Oh, yes. March 21st at Weingart Stadium at East Los Angeles College at 10:30 a.m., Pacific Standard Time, 2:30 p.m. to PST, and 6:30 p.m. PST.
I mean, there's some awesome stuff on the trailers. There's a lot of stuff happening with Universal Studios with the life-size on Attack on Titan diorama.
Yeah.
Which could be called 2 15-meter-tall Titans duking it out.
I'm sorry, but 2 15-meter Titans versus the Gundam. Oh, God, that would be amazing.
It's about the same scale, actually.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, that'd be pretty cool.
Now, there's...
Well, essentially, a Titan is... Spoilers if you haven't got that this far in the series, but the Titan shifters are almost like fleshy Gundams.
Yeah, they are, actually, aren't they? Because the pilot is in the neck.
Yeah.
It's a shame he doesn't have, like, an emergency ejection. Oh, God, no. I don't want to know where the escape hatch is. Oh, we won't go there. Sorry.
But this is a real game, a real-life game people can... Escape game
yes,
that people can participate in.
Yes.
Now, for me, this sounds a bit scarier than the Resi one, if it's done right.
I don't know. If it's done right, I think the Resi one would be better because a Titan is basically this huge, great thing. So yeah, basically running into a small corridor where they can't, a reinforced corridor, they can't get through. You're safe.
There are smaller Titans.
Nothing human-sized, though.
There are ones about 3, 4, 5 meter tall ones.
Yeah, but they wouldn't fit into a human-sized corridor.
They can smash down walls. That's the whole point of the series.
That's why I said reinforced corridor.
They have huge, massive reinforced walls that didn't stop them.
Now, they took a Titan bigger than the walls to kick through it. The rest
you just said how all the Titans are bigger than like a normal person wall, so on that sort of...
Now, a reinforced corridor has reinforcement all around it, and it's inside
all right,
a building.
You stay in your Titan-proof bunker. Yes. I don't
whereas a zombie could chase me through my Titan-proof bunker.
A zombie's easier to take out than a Titan.
Yeah, but zombies tend to swarm in greater numbers than Titans.
Couldn't your Titan just break everything around your Titan-proof bunker and just pick it up?
What, so it turns all the people into, like, Smarties?
Yeah basically. Great mime there, Dave. Didn't think about that, did you?
Oh, if only there was a camera.
Yeah. Maybe in the future there will be. So you can see all of my embarrassing mimes as they happen.
My favourite thing about this is it's one of the first times I've seen, like, anime being, like, taken very seriously in the West. Like, I haven't seen a huge feature about Naruto or any other popular series.
Well, we've had, like, in last year we had a Western adaptation of All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
So
Live, Die, Repeat, as it's known on DVD. Yeah. But Edge of Tomorrow, as it's known pretty much everywhere else.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's getting taken more seriously, like, over here is, like, great. Like, maybe people might stop seeing animation quite as kid-like because of this.
There's a lot more animation that's getting adapted to live action, and when it gets adapted to live action, the Western, you know, Western studios tend to pay more attention to it mm-hmm. than if it was animated. What was it? Rurouni Kenshin is a prime example. Most Western studios ignored the anime, ignored the manga, but then it got this live action adaptation, and now everyone's going, "Ooh, a samurai series."
And we've sort of talked about this subject for quite a while. Maybe we should move on to the next
story. Or if they're English, they're going, "Ooh, samurais."
What's up next, Rob?
Yes. Enough of the samurais. Oh, no, not enough of the samurais. Samurai's Son.
Samurai's Son?
Yes. It's a song, but it's a song in the video.
Oh, so more East meets West.
More East meets West, yes. Samurai's Son, let's see what I said there. Anyway, Momohiro Clover Z, the all-girl pop group from Japan, has teamed up.
Yep, partnering up with
Kiss of all people. Of all the people in the world, you could team up with Kiss. Strangely enough, fit the profile.
Strangely enough, a perfect merging as well.
I know the song actually isn't bad. The video is
amazing. The video is actually really cool.
It's really well produced, but it's also hilarious as well.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, seeing this tiny, tiny little girl band next to
the Kiss, giants that are Kiss
in their full platforms and makeup and shoulder pads and everything.
It looks like a very strange adaptation of Attack on Titan.
You know, all I kept thinking while I was watching the video, every time we saw Kiss on the video, I just kept thinking of DMC.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
And of course, in the video, it also features an anime version of Kiss.
Yeah, although I'm sure that Momohiro Clover Z would have something to say if it was DMC. They were partnering up with...
Oh, if it was DMC, they wouldn't survive.
No.
If anyone's seen the anime Detroit Metal City, it's...
There's a particular thing that Johannes Kraus III wields while he's on stage, which would really upset them.
Yeah, Kiss... Even though their look is kind of extreme, their sound has never been that.
Oh God, no!
But
they also had what was voted as one of the worst songs ever made.
What voted as the worst song ever made?
One of their Kiss songs was voted as it was in the I think the top 10 worst songs ever made.
Which song
it's
was
called
it?
Lick It Up.
Oh, Gene Simmons, as far as I'm aware, still holds the Guinness World Record for the length of his tongue.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
But it could be the best thing that happened to Kiss since Bill and Ted.
Yeah, Gene Simmons is secretly evolved from frogs. You heard it here first. Our chameleons. I've seen him with his beady eyes. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
Yes, Bob's Burgers is getting a live tour that's hitting 5 cities in the US, which is unusual.
I'd love to see it. I really Bob's Burgers got quite understated animation. It is the writing and the voices that carry it. So I'd love to see a live show. I think it would work really well. What's the name of the voice actor who also does Archer? The lead guy in Bob's Burgers? I can't remember his name.
Ben is Googling.
Ben Kingsley. Let it be Ben Kingsley.
It's something like Benedict. He's really awesome, though.
Cumberbatch?
No. He's also like the lead character in Archer. But Bob's Burgers, it's one of those animations that it's hard to describe why it's good. It's just got good writing.
It is hilarious.
I actually like Bob's Burgers. I like watching it because it's very laid back with its humor, but it's very cutting at the same time.
The kids in it get some of the best lines.
Yes. I think my favorite episode was the mascot race around the at the baseball park.
Especially the oldest daughter. The lecherous thing she comes out with about the boys is just like, what?
Yeah, she's insane.
Yeah,
like the kids make the show, in my opinion. Like, Bob has some great, like, really dry humor moments.
And a big shout out to two friends of mine, Luke and Lozzie, who did an amazing cosplay of the two main characters from Bob's Burgers. Have you found out the name? H. John Benjamin, yeah. Right.
So one of them was That's Bob and the other mind. One was a burger.
No, the other one was his wife. That the name completely escapes me because I'm being recorded right now and I can't remember anything. Linda, that's it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Voiced by John Roberts.
Okay.
This is why we love animation.
But yeah, I definitely see the live show of Bob Burgers. I think it will be a lot of fun to watch. There's actually an episode of Archer where it begins after Archer loses his memory. He is in a recreation of Bob's Burgers.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Moving on. There's a couple of things coming up soon. One's in Newcastle and one is in London, and they both involve cafes.
Oh, it's our Made News section.
Yes, it's our Made News section brought to you by Technomade.
Strap on your neckle ears and listen up.
Yes. There's a Valentine's event in London. The Maids of England group has announced a Maid Cafe event on Sunday, the 15th of February, at the Necco Japanese Cafe Bar in Exmouth Market between Holborn, Angel and King's Cross. Could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the day after Valentine's Day. So if you're lonely, go see some maids.
Yep, that's my plan.
Also, closer to home, we've got a cat cafe opening up in Newcastle. If you've heard of these in Japan, they are basically a cafe where cats will walk about for strokes.
Yep, you just go there, stroke a cat, have a cup of coffee, stroke a cat more.
Stroke more cats more cats. There's one in London already, isn't there?
Yeah, it makes more sense to me in Japan where, like, they're not... The pets aren't that common because of, like, living in, like, large apartment complexes and things.
Well, not only that, in Japan, they actually have an island off Japan called Cat Island.
Oh, and there's also Rabbit Island as well.
There's also Deer Island. They just sort of separate out their animals and put them on islands.
They like their organisation.
Yep.
And meanwhile, in the UK, we have the Isle of Man.
Where all the real men are. No, actually, the Isle of Man, there's just one guy there. Going, I'm lonely.
So, I'm not sure if the one in Newcastle is doing it, but a lot of like cat cafes are set up for like to get these cats homes. There's certain ones that like have like the purebred cats that are, like the high standard where you just go there and you can stroke them. But other ones, every cat's up for adoption, and you can like so you go there and if you really like a cat, you can take it home
in a doggy bag.
Yep. that might be a good idea for Newcastle. Like,
yeah,
lots of people have lots of houses and
what taking cats home in cats doggy bags.
They can't have my cat though.
No, Gannon's yours.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, moving on. We've got two more bits of news before we go.
Two more pizzas.
Two more pizzas before we go for a break. The Mr. Men and Little Miss are going to get their own movie.
They're coming to the big screen.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why.
I can see it as a series. I can see it as like you know, like little things for kids to watch every day. But yeah, it's getting its own movie. I mean, this year we've also got the Peanuts movie coming out.
Yeah.
A lot of kids' franchises are getting made into big screen movies.
Now, I can understand.
Last year we had Postman Pat.
Yeah. I can understand in a sense. Postman Pat has changed since the original days.
Like he used to be.
Do you know how much stuff they got away with in the original Postman Pat? It was ridiculous. The fact that the bus driver was having an affair with the cafe owner and the grocery shop owner at the same time.
I've never watched it since I was a kid, so I have no idea.
Seriously. Well, no, not Postman Pat. That was Fireman Sam. Postman Pat had the other thing. Oh, I'll have to find it and let you know.
He had a black and white cat.
Yeah, he's got a black and white cat, but there's other things going on in person.
He's also one of the best things I found in Home Bargains was a transforming action figure of Postman Pat that turns from a postman into Postman Pat. Yep, that exists. So does a combining Thomas the Tank Engine mech.
Perfect.
Okay, I've seen that one. Okay, yeah. Anyway, how are they going to make this Mr. Men movie? What's it going to be? Is it going to have dramatic events? How does that work? Oh no, Mr. Tickle accidentally tickled the wrong person. And now he's got a Yakuza after him.
Like, they broke his elbows.
Which one?
All of them.
He has like 7 elbows, I assume.
Mr. Bump fell down the stairs again. Oh no.
He called claims direct.
Yes.
Someone attacked Mr. Bump, we think. So, like, they might have, like...
Mr. Happy Sue's
little,
Pharrell.
Little Miss Naughty was Little Miss Naughty issued her third Asbo. How is it going to go?
Strong was found out to have used steroid abuse.
Yeah, like, and was banned from all competition.
You don't know. Maybe they set up. There's a conflict in the town, and everyone has to use what they know to help fix the problem. I don't know. Like, I don't know how they did the Postman Pat. I don't know how they're going to do the Peanuts. They're grasping at straws, and I didn't think they were straws that were about anymore. Mr. Men still the book series?
Is still crazy popular.
Oh, really? Is it?
And there are little animated series of it. They're like on like Channel 5.
They last like 2-3 minutes.
Yeah, because that's
all it has to. Like that's what they were back in the day.
But that's what I'm saying. That's all they last for. How can you make a movie out of something that only lasts 2-3 minutes?
Maybe it's just like a string of the episodes, but like they do this little story about Mr. Strong, and then like at the end of it, Mr. Tickle walks by, and then it follows Mr. Tickle.
So like Monty Python's, and now for something completely different.
Yeah.
But with Mr. Men, I can be in for that.
See that I could be in for as well. But my main fear with this is that Fox are going to do the old. We promised you this movie. You come in now. They're going to sellotape you to the chair so you can't leave until the movie finishes. Yeah. At which point you're brainwashed to worship Fox.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't trust them.
So our final piece of news for today, Rob,
is Prince of Tennis piece of news, and this is awesome. Right. The creator of Prince of Tennis, he has been commentating for NHK at the Australian Open.
That is amazing. So obviously he knows his tennis. I assume he's done some research.
He knows his tennis.
I think Mike's
he also knows
it.
His superpowered Shonen. I'm sorry. When you have a shot that can basically tear a hole in space,
I can do that. I just don't want to.
Do you think he's going to be sat there going, this is really boring. Why aren't they doing any super moves?
Yeah, exactly.
God. Like, that was a perfect time for like an asteroid strike or something. But no, he just hit the ball back.
Oh, I'd like time to stop and wait to hear Andy Murray's thoughts.
Andy Murray, after he beat Bardish, going, mada, mada, dare. Which is what the guy from Prince of Tennis says whenever he wins. That would have made him immensely happy.
So I think we shouldn't just stop here. There's a lot of sports animes with a lot of really good commentators.
As I said, the guy who makes Hajime no Ippo commentating on the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep. Be amazing.
It would be. It'd be fantastic. What else?
I'd just like to hear the Peanut Gallery from Shonen Anime commentating on... The Great British Bake Off.
I think you got Rob there.
At that point, we've killed Rob, so I think we should probably take a break at this point.
Hello, this is Ryan from the Geek Show Podcast Network. Do you like trees? What about paper? What about words? Yes, words are good. Then you will like Literally Loitering, unavailable on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the new animation show as part of the Geek Show.
Yes.
Keyframe.
And we're going to be discussing today on our top picks for the best of 2014.
Not just from the East, but also from the West.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to start off with some Western picks and then move on to some anime later on. But we're going to start off with a few. Ben is chomping at the bit, I can see. Because
is he biting the microphone in his eagerness again?
I'd say one of the biggest events in Western animation last year, especially for the critics, was The Legend of Korra, Book 4.
Legend of Korra!
Korra!
Beautiful.
Yes.
So, if you don't know Legend of Korra, I'll give you a little...
Well, it follows on from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Yep.
Not the terrible movie, but the the awesome Nickelodeon series with starring Aang, The Last Airbender, going along on his journey.
Yep. Learning how to control four elements and defeat the Fire Nation who are trying to take over.
So, Korra starts off with a new Avatar cycle.
Yep. Korra is the new Avatar. It's years on from the events of Avatar. There's peace across the nation, and everything's converged into a city that's basically the hub of, like, the world.
Yeah, I mean, the first Avatar series was very... There were like, tribal nations. There were kind of... technology wasn't that advanced.
No, but as it's gone on, like, cars are now a normal thing. Like, people have radios, electric, it's like coming into like a more modern age, even though it's a lot more steamish, if you know what I mean. So, at the end of series three of Korra,
actually, if I was to compare it with a setting, I'd compare it with something like Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Where magic powers exist alongside early technology, like sort of early 19th century technology.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it works, even though they do have like mech suits and stuff, but they're sort of fitted to the time. They're a bit clunky.
Well, technically, Full Metal Alchemist has a mech suit. What do you call it? Owl.
That's magic. It's alchemy.
I know.
Blood alchemy. Anyway.
Anyway, at the end of season three, Korra was poisoned. It left her crippled and emotionally broken. And season four is the start of her like recovery from going through this insane trauma. And she's trying to deal with it the best she can, but she can't quite get over it. While this is happening, a woman called Quivira is trying to... is building up the Earth Nation and sort of... after the queen died in the previous, the emperor died in the previous series, she's now trying to unite the whole of the Earth Kingdom, but she's refusing to let go of it. She wants that power and she wants the Earth Nation to take over.
Yeah.
So the Avatar has to deal with all the issues she's like going through at the time and try and solve this conflict with the Earth Nation. And it is done beautifully. Like, from a visual standpoint, the animation is beautiful. The art style's really nice. Like, the whole thing's done so well. And it is emotional as well.
Mm-hmm. There were some people who had issues with the way it ended, though.
I mostly heard positive things, to be honest.
That's why I said some people.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say it was a controversial ending. I liked the way it ended. I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the way it finished was perfectly fine. I had no problems with it. But it did raise some eyebrows and some conversation in certain parts.
Well, it was a mainstream cartoon shown on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
It wasn't shown on like an adult network anything. So
by the end, could you still say it was a mainstream cartoon shown on Nickelodeon after all the changes?
They kept cutting its time slot, moving it down.
It became web-only at one point, didn't it?
Yeah. I believe it ended on web-only.
Yeah.
Like, it just kept getting its time slot cut because it was doing some pretty controversial things within the story, but
it stuck to its guns. It actually finished off, unlike Young Justice, which unfortunately got cut before its time, partly because it attracted the wrong sort of audience for the producers.
That was really annoying.
He's hanging out with the wrong crowd.
Was like, no, it had a large female fan base.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But you can't sell action figures to
There is nothing wrong with the large female fan base. I know many men who would like to have a large female fan base.
No, it was more that it was obviously Western cartoons are a vehicle to move merchandise.
Yeah, I know.
And the traditional methods of moving merchandise weren't going to work if you had that large female audience. But instead
now,
of...
there is a show that has the same problem.
Instead of adapting your ways of selling to people, because it's an audience that will buy things, they just canned it, which is a shame.
You know, like I said, there is a show that does have a very, very similar problem, and it does involve four-legged creatures of a certain type, ponies.
That's come to embrace its... it's
now it has.
Yeah. They were trying to ignore it as much as they could. Well, actually, for the most part, the development team loved the community that was around it, but it was Hasbro themselves that were like, yeah, we don't want that. That's weird. Keep it away from us. Because it is about pastel-coloured ponies. It's not really having this large male, older...
large hairy man fighting off six-year-old girls for that particular type of pony.
Yep.
Oh, that's not fair. Ben has never beaten up a six-year-old girl.
I'm not a six-year-old.
I'm not saying... I'm not suggesting he couldn't. Well, maybe.
I don't know. Those six-year-olds can be vicious. Have you seen the toys they get now?
I've seen some of the Nerf Rebel stuff, and it's pretty cool.
I know.
By the way, Amazon listed My Little Pony Nerf stuff. So apparently the Rebel series is going ponies as well.
Right.
Oh, God.
So we've had our little pony chat as well. I mean, unless there's anything else you'd like to raise about what they did last year?
Last year, they had a good series, not the strongest. Had a really well-animated final, like Dragon Ball Z-style fight. It was pretty unexpected for a pony show and had a really nice end to the Discord arc. But other than that, it wasn't the best series.
Okay. For me, I've got to put BoJack Horseman as one of the best shows I've watched.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. It was a Netflix exclusive.
Yes, it was.
So it's worth watching if you can.
It's just so funny.
It stars Will Arnett,
who
you might recognise as the voice of... Batman in the Lego movie, also
everything is Batman,
also Job from Arrested Development.
Yes,
but BoJack Horseman is about a washed up sitcom star, who used to be in a show called Horsing Around back in the 90s, and it's his life in Hollywood as a washed up star.
Yep.
Do you know what it reminds me of? And I love those two shows so much. Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Yeah, it's sort of similar. I love the news reporter, the one with the whale head.
Yes.
I can't remember his name, but that whole send up of the sort of Hollywood news culture.
Yes.
I think at one point they had the president is in hospital. But first,
yes.
Breaking news from the entertainment industry, and you see BoJack Horseman being harassed by the paparazzi, and it's all framed around him writing his autobiography.
Yeah, he's got a ghostwriter following him about. And
is it worth mentioning half the characters have animal heads?
Yes,
I think it's kind of important. BoJack has a horse's head.
It's like completely normal within the series, but also acknowledged.
Yeah.
As we say, he was in a series called Horsing Around, so they are acknowledging he's a horseman.
Yeah.
I like Todd. The fact that he turned up for a party at BoJack's house and then never left.
also,
it's just hilarious.
If you weren't aware, if you've been watching the series and didn't know, they updated it with a Christmas episode.
Did they?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that one came out just in December. So if you haven't seen it yet.
I didn't know.
And that one's BoJack and Todd alone at Christmas watching an old BoJack, an old Horsing Around Christmas special.
That's basically what BoJack does. He sits around, watches his old episodes and drinks, as you do as a washed up actor.
He's self-destructive, but his ghostwriter believes there's something more deep beneath that.
Yeah.
But whether there is or not, it's up to interpretation. But yeah, BoJack Horseman, definitely a good pick for last year.
Yeah.
Very cynical.
In terms of originality, it's... Okay, it's... I love the concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, it did remind me of Space Ghost and Birdman, but just in terms of the actual content, the cutting satire, things like that, I love that.
Well, I do think Netflix is a great place for this sort of show.
Yeah.
I mean, South Park went from strength to strength last year, but that's a series that, especially over in the UK, has been bumped about time slots so many times.
South Park is this huge production machine now, just like The Simpsons, mm-hmm. whereas BoJack Horseman, being a new series, it doesn't have the same kind of scale and scope to it. So
what I'm putting to you is that I think Netflix could be a great place for that sort of show to be.
Except where things like Kotaku are related, because there's obvious pandering going on there. Did you not read it? On Kotaku, they put an article going, the best show on Netflix is not Attack on Titan, it's Knights of Cydonia, which just happens to be a Netflix exclusive. And then they went through a list of why it's better than Attack on Titan. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Attack on Titan. It's a great show, but you know, it wasn't the best for me. But the entire article that was on Kotaku was just so much pandering. So much, all hail Netflix. And I'm like,
all I'm saying is it's
a great place
it's a
for
great
left
medium
field
for
animation.
It. Yeah.
It's a great
fool
place
me
for left
once,
field animation.
Shame on me. Fool me twice, fiddle dee dee. Horseman, BoJack Horseman quote.
Yeah.
I love it. No one in the show can finish off that properly. They just do something weird.
Best character in the show for me is, I think his name is Tom Adultman.
Yes.
Who is three children in a long coat masquerading as an adult.
Yes. sorry. First time I saw that, my brain immediately went from there to Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Mm-hmm. With the dwarves, and then to Tom and Jerry, and then to All Dogs Go to Heaven, mm-hmm. and the racetrack.
Right.
Old joke, but done really well in BoJack. Okay, what about movies?
Movies, I'm just going to mention a couple of others.
All right.
Last year, we saw the kick-started animation, Bee and Puppycat, have its first few episodes, and that's going really well so far. Bravest Warriors had its second series.
Yeah.
And that one, again, really, really good. Really enjoyed the second series. They're really, like, exploring a lot with it. The Channel Frederator Network is putting out some great stuff.
Mm.
And YouTube is a great medium to get some animation out there as well.
The fact that these animations are happening and they're doing well is a great sign, because
you can show an animation is popular without having to show that to the people who control programming.
Yeah.
You don't have to pitch it to them first.
Yeah.
You can actually get it to your audience without that middleman.
Yeah, the fact that you can now like go around that and ask, because people know what they're like. And the second I saw being PubCat, I was like, I love that. That's amazing. And the fact that things like Kickstarter are about and YouTube means they don't have to justify their shows to like...
And another internet animation that's got onto its second series this year was Rooster Teeth's Ruby.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And they previously did... actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Ruby ended up on Netflix.
Yeah, actually,
because their previous sort of animated Machinima,
Red versus Blue,
the first five series of that are up on Netflix. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see that kind of doing well on Netflix as well. So, Ruby, it's... a nice show. It's got some issues, but overall, I love it.
The first series as a concept.
Yeah.
And I wanted the second series to build on that and evolve more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, movies then. What about movies?
Can I just have, just before we move on from Western, because Steven Universe is one of the greatest cartoons I've seen in a long time. Like, it started... 2013 in the winter, it's been going on over the last year. I said, it follows a little boy who's part of the Gems that are like super-powered beings who protect the Earth. But he's half-human and he can't quite control his powers.
Okay.
I said, he's so happy and so, like, enthusiastic. And following him about just doing his everyday things while he, like, tries to help out these super-powered beings is really entertaining. But the fact he does emotion so well... like, there's an episode where he meets up with friends and, like, his interactions with them are just amazing. Like, any moment where they talk about his mother is just amazing. There's a point where like someone's like says bad things about his mother and he just breaks down. He's like, I didn't get to know my mother. You don't get to talk to about her like that. It's just, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was actually a good year for animated movies as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. It was.
Last February, I think, yeah, it came out on Valentine's Day. So almost very similar to this time last year was proving that everything is awesome. We had the Lego movie.
Yes.
And in terms of, I really liked the quality of the animation. I loved how it looked stop motion. The lighting was brilliant. I loved that everything was an effect in scene that looked made of Lego.
You know, up until like I read like interviews and stuff, I thought it was stop motion. I was like, how could they do this quality of stop motion? They didn't. They cheated it, but they did it in such a great way that you couldn't tell.
I loved the, if people were firing lasers, there were little laser Lego bricks.
Yep.
Brilliant. But it was also a good movie in its own right.
Yes.
It told a message without being too heavy-handed about it, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, the last section is maybe a little bit.
It is.
But overall, the things it tells you about, like, being yourself, creativity, and individuality, it's...
Yeah.
It's sort of just be the best person you can be.
Yeah.
And it was just a nice message about it.
See, as much as I like the Lego movie, How to Train Your Dragon 2 really got me.
That one was full of feels.
Yeah.
really, did you see that one, Ben?
I didn't see that
one.
It had
have you seen the
feels.
Original?
The original. Yeah.
It continues on from there.
Yeah, I've heard it continues very nicely. It wasn't like a reset.
No, it wasn't. Like the great thing was, you know, he's in that quite healthy relationship with Astrid.
Astrid,
is it?
Yeah.
You know, they didn't do anything to interfere with.
Quite
that.
Often in a sequel, they'll create some tension or they'll threaten a relationship, so they'll have to get back together.
Yeah,
and it's like no, they both grow as people through the film.
Yeah,
but they're both still in a relationship, and they're in a very healthy, comfortable, loving relationship. That they go through their own stuff.
Hiccup has his own has a lot of stuff to deal with.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the movie, a hell of a lot.
Well, Hiccup, it continues on that basically Burke has now accepted dragons. They have dragon riding competitions. Yeah. And it's quite common for this sort of thing to happen. And Hiccup basically finds out he wasn't the first to do this.
Yeah.
And in fact, his mother, who presumed dead through the events of the first film, isn't.
Oh.
His mother's still around. She just had to leave because in the anti-dragon Burke that we saw in the first film, she wasn't welcome as a dragon rider.
Yeah.
So now she's acceptable, so he's trying to find her?
Not quite, because he still doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
He and doesn't know that. All that
she
stuff.
Lives in isolation in a community with dragons. She's like a dragon ecologist.
Not only that, she's also kind of their protector as well.
Yeah.
Because there are the dragon hunters, the one who wants to make an army of dragons. But yeah, what else was out last year then?
I mean, we had Miyazaki's The Wind Rises.
Yes, yes, yes. It was a really... The thing is, I really like the movie. I know why people criticize it, because it is effectively about the guy who created the Zero Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But where a lot of people get it wrong is in assuming that the guy who made the Zero Fighter was evil. He wasn't. He was just somebody who loved to make aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what came through in The Wind Rises. The fact that he never intended for his creation to be used for such horrible purposes. You know, kamikaze dives on battleships.
In love with the idea of flight, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. You know, it's like Oppenheimer. You know, if you want to have a Western equivalent, Oppenheimer never truly fully realized what he was creating until the first nuclear test, and that's when he said, "Today I am become death."
Mm-hmm.
Today I become Shiva, destroyer of worlds. Because at that point, when that nuclear blast happened, he realized he'd created a weapon so powerful it could wipe out all of humanity.
But it was a nice historical biopic, and to tell that through animation's quite...
It's unusual, and it doesn't really happen that much these days.
I think, actually, it's in a way, it can be a little bit more honest.
Yes, it can.
Because I find that live-action adaptations are... Biopics can be a bit pandering.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And they depend very much on the performance of the leading man. Whereas when it's an animated thing, you can strip away, the having to be like the character when it's a drawing.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the drawing looks like the character. You don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, obviously there were some liberties taken with the story, but I still think it's a brilliant piece of work. It's really charming. And I think that if you approach it with the idea that, oh, this is about the creator of the Zero Fighter, and he obviously was a bad man, then you're going at it with the wrong attitude. Mm-hmm. You just need to approach it with an open mind.
I sort of approached it with that thought, and I ended leaving, not thinking of the guy as the guy who created the Zero Fighter, but the guy who loved flight.
Yeah, he just
the guy who was just in love with his work, and he wasn't anything to do with. That just happened to be the thing he did.
The thing is, like most creations, it was adapted for use during a time of war.
Yeah,
you know, we had as many people who were guilty of the same thing here in the West and then over in America.
I mean, we could talk for ages about like the computers that we have today wouldn't be
here without Turing and the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that simple.
But another charming film towards the end of the year we had was the Book of Life, and that was a visual feast for the eyes. It was nice.
It was beautiful. Although I did prefer Box Trolls in terms of the story.
Yeah, Box Trolls was one from the makers of Paranorman, and was it Coraline as well?
Yes, Coraline as well.
So it was it's in good stead in terms of animation. Was Box Trolls stop motion or was it?
It was stop motion.
Yeah, I believe it's like 3D printed stop motion. Wasn't
I know Paranorman was. There was some 3D.
It was the same as Paranorman, basically, in terms of production.
But in terms, they're really showing that you don't have to go CGI to look that.
Oh God, yes. And I'm sorry, but I'm a sucker for any story where the lead character is called Eggs. I love Eggs.
And we had some great stuff, some great like Marvel and DC adaptations last year as well.
Assault on Arkham came out last year, didn't it?
That like of you know me, you know I love Suicide Squad.
Yes.
And it's because I saw this movie that I fell in love with Suicide Squad. Because it was done so well. Like, the interaction between these people, the chemistry, like...
Suicide Squad.
Yeah. So, like, in the first 5 minutes, they, like, do the introduction showing all the bad guys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then before they've left the first room, one of them's died.
Yeah.
And, like, and it really, like... They did a big introduction thing with, like, a screen, like, oh, so this is the type of movie this is. Is that like just tell you what made it for me? Killer Frost and King Shark, like together, they were the greatest combination in the world. And I just wish that was in the comic because they don't actually interact in the comic at all. I haven't seen Killer Frost in it. Set them together, it was just hilarious and beautiful. And
there was also the on the Marvel side, there was Avengers Confidential.
Yes,
Scarlet.
Scarlet Witch, not Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Widow.
Black Widow.
Black Widow.
We're thinking Scarlett Johansson. That's why we're getting mixed up. Black Widow and Punisher.
Yeah, Black Widow and Punisher.
Yeah.
I've not seen it, so if you've
All right, it's, Black Widow and Punisher is basically, it's all about a Russian plot, surprise, surprise, with one of Black Widow's old flames involved.
Ah, right.
Okay. Punisher is obviously on the trail, and he gets sucker punched by S.H.I.E.L.D. and conned into helping them out to stop this plot. Yeah. Obviously,
normal Nick Fury, S.H.I.E.L.D. ways.
Nick Fury and Frank Castle aren't the best of friends.
They do star in a Capcom beat 'em up in the 90s. It was awesome.
Yes.
Yes, that is awesome.
Everything was awesome in the 90s. but yeah, it's actually surprisingly good animated feature from Marvel. It does show the Punisher quite well, and just kind of the lengths that the Punisher is willing to go,
mm-hmm.
but also the lines he doesn't cross as well.
Okay.
It's more reflective of the Punisher as a character than it is Black Widow, which is unusual because you think Black Widow would get most of the attention with the
Punisher
Avengers
tends
and everything
to be
like that.
Fairly one dimensional.
Yeah, she does get a good bit of attention in the animated feature, but it's nowhere near the level. Because the weird thing is, Frank Castle isn't involved in the action for a lot of the time.
Right.
Because he's off doing his own thing. So it's basically Black Widow and going through her history with this guy and then all the reminiscing and, you know, the touching and the touchy-feely bits and all the feels. But it's still the Punisher who comes out on top in terms of, you know, I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so you get more of an understanding of the Punisher, of how the Punisher thinks and how he decides who's guilty and who's not. And who's a criminal and who's not.
He makes very definite lines, doesn't he?
He does. He makes very definite lines.
And before we move on to the anime section, I'm going to throw in an animated movie that I enjoyed a lot from last year.
I also want to throw one in as well, but after you.
Okay. It was came out on Blu-ray last year. Was Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods.
Yes.
It hits the comedy and action lines perfectly, actually, and really creates like an interesting foil for Goku. Not... a universe-destroying villain for the sake of it, just someone who is better in terms of power.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite an interesting dynamic to explore. And it really sets up for, I want to see more of this, and I'm excited about The Resurrection of F, which is the film coming out this year. I'm excited about the new series, which has been commissioned for 52 episodes.
Yep.
So it's definitely set me up for, like, yep, I can deal with more Dragon Ball like this.
Right, fantastic. Before we go for another break, very, very quickly, Ghibli movie, right? Produced by Ghibli. This one was directed by Hiromasa Yonabayashi, and it's based on a book by John G. Robinson.
Right.
And it's also the last movie that Ghibli produced before suspending their film division.
Mm-hmm.
It's called When Marnie Was There.
Right, I've not actually seen this
right,
one.
Now, I read the book a long time ago when I was a kid, and it is a brilliant, brilliant story. And I'm hoping it'll be out on Blu-ray at some point in the UK, but they'll probably have to do the Tale of Princess Kaguya first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I am hoping that When Marnie Was There comes out. Because you know Ghibli's tried their hands at adapting Western
Well,
novels.
There's a few, like Howl's Moving Castle, Arrietty... I'm sure there's a few more.
Gedo Senki, Tales of Earthsea. Mm-hmm. Ursula Le Guin's Tales of Earthsea. This might actually be the best one they've done. Arrietty was great. Arrietty was the best of them.
I was really... Like, the background design in Arrietty was... It looked like a beautiful English cottage.
When Marnie Was There, when Marnie Was There, just the entirety of it, the way it's designed, the way it's shot, the lighting... Just the story, it's difficult to say which is better, Arrietty or this, as in terms of Western adaptations.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week and do it reasonably well.
Welcome back to Keyframe, the latest show from the Geek Show family here from Geek Show Towers, and we're into the anime section.
So we've talked a lot about
the films on an animation show. How ironic is that?
I know, but this is our best of 2014 list.
Yes.
Well, sort of
kind
a list.
Of. Recommendations,
we're going to have a bit of a meander and talk about some of our top picks and some of the ones that made a big splash.
Yes.
Two of the ones that definitely did make a big splash, we're not going to talk about right now because we're going to be reviewing them on our main show on
That's
Monday.
Kill la Kill and Space Dandy.
Kill la Kill was massive last year. It's definitely been a great intro for Studio Trigger. I know you have issues.
I didn't like it that much.
But shut up.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people liked it. I found it quite bland.
I know you didn't like it, Rob, but you're wrong, so.
I am
Space
never
Dandy,
wrong.
Space
or rather,
Dandy,
my alter ego is never wrong.
Space Dandy is just brilliant, so just...
I agree with you on that one.
And stick with us on the main show to find out just how brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But, going to start off with I know what you're thinking, because I'm the Thought Police, and I'm going to talk to you a bit about Psycho Pass.
Yes.
Yep.
I saw what you did there.
Have you seen Psycho Pass, Ben?
Psycho Pass is kind of the equilibrium of the anime world.
It is, yeah. It's a similar setup. Basically, people people's thoughts and emotions are being monitored. And sorry, Ben, you threw me off. I don't know what you were telling me there.
Talking to the mic.
I thought I was. I'd moved it. I'd moved it so.
Right. Should we start that bit again?
Yeah, let's start that bit again. So anyway, Psychopass is effectively the equilibrium of the anime world.
Yeah. Basically, it's in a like near future where people's thoughts and emotions are being monitored. Rather than the committing of crimes, the intention to commit a crime is an arrestable offence.
It reminded me of Minority Report in that respect.
Yeah.
Because it was all about pre-crime rather than actual crime. It was all about predicting the crime by looking at people's personalities, by having this personality profile. You remember that episode of The Simpsons where Bart is effectively God, and if you're not happy, you'll be punished?
Yeah.
It's that, in
it's
a
like
nutshell.
If police could do that.
Yeah.
And it follows the tale of two detectives, I believe?
Well, it's a group of detectives. Yeah. They're homicide investigators. And what they've just had a new recruit who's just joined them. And there is a serial killer on the loose, and they're having difficulty catching him. But one of the things that the police department has access to are these characters that they call psychos. They are basically registered psychopaths. They are registered killers. And the only reason they're like that is because their profiles, their psychological profiles, predilect them to be that type of character, to be a killer. And so they use them as hunting dogs, effectively.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would definitely say it's worth a watch. It's out on Netflix, the first series.
Yeah.
The second series.
Well, the first series is actually out on DVD in the UK as well.
Yeah.
I believe it's Manga who released it. So, yeah.
So it's definitely worth a watch. It's been making big waves. That was the most searched anime last year, apparently,
yep.
In 2014. The second most searched anime was boy swimming anime.
Yes, and this was by middle-aged women. We know it.
Free Uwatobi Swim Club and the sequel, Eternal Summer, last year. And
I thought the original Free was 2013.
It was slightly carried over, I believe.
Ah, right, it was winter, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay,
and
yeah.
So they aired Eternal Summer this year.
And all the middle-aged women just went nuts again.
I had no younger crowds who are really into it as
Tumblr,
well.
Tumblr loves it.
Tumblr's insane.
Tumblr loves it, but I'll tell you, the middle-aged women, they went crazy. They went crazy.
It's also worth watching. There's a great parody series of it called 50% Off on YouTube. It's one of the better abridged out there.
Yeah.
Because it's given the characters characterization they didn't have in the original series.
Yes.
Another anime.
They didn't need anyone. Any characterization.
Yeah.
I think I've just thrown Dave off completely.
Another one that made big waves last year was Parasite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kiseju, if you use the original name.
I like how everyone waves their hands around at this.
Well, that's
what you think of when you think of Parasite.
The main character with the eye and the mouth on his hand from the alien being that's possessing his hand.
Yes.
Other alien beings have possessed other people in far worse ways.
Yep. Including a certain person who he didn't want to be to have the parasite in, but we'll not spoil that. Anyway, started off as a manga. Obviously, this is a manga adaptation, but they condensed a bit too much into too short a time.
Mm-hmm. But from the attention it's been getting, I mean, and the live action.
Yeah, because the story is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, the story is really, really good. It's a lot better than the story of Tokyo Ghoul, let's put it that way.
Yeah. I'm going to quickly throw in another anime, an anime series that proves that you can get a second shot and do it right, which is JoJo's Bizarre Adventures.
Yes.
I could try to explain the plot, but it'd be very difficult. It's about a bloodline, basically. Yes. The different series, the different arcs follow a different generation of the Joestars.
Yes.
Yeah.
And last year, Stardust Crusaders aired, which is the best series, in my opinion, because we have Dio. Dio in Joseph's body.
Yes.
From the first series. We have... there's just so many great characters in it. And we actually have the introduction of stands.
Yes.
Stands are, if you've played any Persona or anything like that, it's basically like a Persona. It's like a thing you can summon that does stuff.
Yeah. I remember someone accidentally making Beyond Two Souls cool by referring to the ghost as a stand. And was like, damn it, don't make the game good. It's not a good game.
But yeah. Even if you've not watched any of the previous JoJo's series,
yeah,
it's worth watching Stardust Crusaders. Well, just watch it. It's crazy. It's awesome. It's probably the weirdest fighting poses you will ever see in anything.
Yeah, that's like 50% of JoJo, isn't it? Just posing.
Yeah, but I mean, what is it? Jotaro.
Yeah.
Guess who he's based
on? What?
Guess who he's based on? Guess who the original model for that character was?
Was it Clint Eastwood?
Yes.
Yeah. Even though, isn't Jotaro 15?
Yes.
He's a high school delinquent, basically.
Yeah.
And where does his hat end and his hair begin?
Apparently
it's all hat.
Yeah. Hirohiko Araki, a couple of years ago, he met Clint Eastwood and gave him a framed copy of the artwork because it was based on Clint Eastwood.
Awesome.
Made Clint Eastwood very happy.
We're just going to quickly mention Fate Zero was released on DVD and Blu-ray last year.
Yep.
Definitely one of my picks for the best DVD releases of last year.
Yeah, that was my first
Karen and Kokai as well came out last year, and Usagi Drop came out last year. Basically, you had three amazing series come out last year from MVM. Just on the basis of those three, I know Psycho Pass came out from manga, and I know manga have been doing One Piece, but just on the basis of Karen no Kyokai, Fate Zero, and Usagi Drop, I would say MVM basically took the title of best distributor.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
If you did...
And they had much more diversity with all their releases.
Yeah. I mean, if you did catch Fate Zero on DVD, we also had Unlimited Blade Works air last year.
Yes, yeah. And the best thing is, it's the guys who did Fate Zero and Karen no Kyokai doing Unlimited Blade Works, which automatically makes it better than the movie version.
Yeah. Fate Zero, the quality of the animation and the quality
movie
of the story.
Movie quality animation, yeah. Movie quality production. I mean, the sound, the audio was just phenomenal.
And they kept up that standard with the new Unlimited Blade
Exactly.
Works.
Well, the thing is, if you look at it, this is one of the reasons why I think studios and creators should work together for long periods of time, for years, in fact. You know, Karen no Kyokai has been going for several years, and Type Moon, Ufotable, and Notes work together on that. They basically, over the course of several years, they produce these Karen no Kyokai movies, and they basically forge this relationship of knowing how each other thinks. And then they did Fate Zero, which was basically the culmination of everything they'd learned. And if you look at the quality of production on Fate Zero, it's just, I have not seen, aside from Unlimited Blade Works, I've not seen much like it in recent years from anime. I've seen sections in cartoons, especially in like Macross Frontier and Angel Beats, when they suddenly break out into song, but that's basically it.
Yeah. Also, we had Gatchaman Crowds last year. Gatchaman's a long running series.
Not a fan.
You may know it as Battle of the Planets. It was adapted to.
Yes.
Well, not Crowds, because that's the new one, but.
Yeah. The original Gatchaman Five. Gatchaman Ninja Team 5, whichever you want to call it.
But yeah, we had Gatchaman Crowds. You reviewed it, I believe, last year as well?
Yes. I didn't do a written review of it. I did an audio review of it. I didn't really like it. I thought it lost the charm. It lost the adventure of the original one. It focused too much on being cute and fluffy and nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was less about the heroics and more about, oh, let's be friends.
Yeah.
Because everything is fabulous.
And a few more that are worth mentioning, I'll throw into our sports roundup.
Yes.
We had Haikyuu.
Yes, here we are on the sports network.
Haikyuu was the volleyball equivalent of Kuroko no Basket.
Yes, it did for volleyball what Kuroko no Basket didn't do for basketball, which was get a lot of people playing it. Nobody wanted to play basketball after Kuroko no Basket. Do you realize that? There was actually a drop because
you'd
think there'd be a spike, but
among like the English people I knew that loved the series, a lot
I'm
of them,
talking about Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about here. We're used to basketball here. We know basketball. We're like, yay, basketball. We have our own basketball teams. But over in Japan, it's a different story where sports like baseball are actually the king, you know.
And as a sports anime, Kuroko no Basket, obviously that continued to air last year.
It's species throwing balls at each other. Who doesn't like that?
It's one of the first sports anime that I've seen that admits that they're basically superpowered.
Yes.
Generation Next, was it?
The Generation of Miracles.
That's it,
And the Phantom Sixth Man and his dog, who looks like him.
And we also had Yowai Mushi Pedal.
Yowai Mushi Pedal is a true dyed-in-the-wool sports anime. It doesn't have superpowers. They don't, you know, they basically, it's all about road racing, bicycle road racing, like Tour de France, that sort of thing. And it's very, very uncommon as a sporting anime. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple. There's Overdrive and there's Nasu, which is and Nasu was like two single episode OVAs, you know, one in Spain and one in America, one overseas. I think it was in Japan or America. But Yowai Mushi Pedal is about a boy who he's basically an otaku, and he doesn't really have any friends or anything like that. But he's got a bicycle. It's basically a granny bike.
Yeah,
it weighs a ton. And he basically pedals 90 kilometers to Akihabara to get like the latest manga releases and stuff like that. He does a 90-kilometer round trip every week on this granny bike. And he loves kind of pedaling up hills. You know, he's like, it's not for exercise or anything like that. It's just kind of, he likes the sensation of it. And he's
What this needs a crossover with?
What?
Belleville Rendezvous.
Yes.
yes.
But anyway, there's a hill going up to the school, and it's usually used by the road racing club, right? Mm-hmm. But he's going up one day, and a guy on the road racer is just kind of, he's going up this hill by himself. And eventually they end up in kind of a race. And the guy on the racing bike barely wins. He wins by a couple of yards, but still, he's racing a granny bike with a basket on the front.
Yeah.
Pedaled by a kid who looks like he's got the muscle tone of an elastic band. So, yeah. And the kid basically gets roped into the road racing club. Turns out he's an amazing hill climber on a bike, but he's never used a racing bike before. So it's basically teaching him how to become a road racer. And that's one of the reasons I like it, because even though he's got these mad skills, he's not a natural racer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the mentality or anything like that. So, yeah.
Okay, so that was a quick roundup of some of our top picks for animation of 2014.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a few missed, but we've already got limited time. So
we are actually, we ran out of time already.
Yeah.
But
this is the extended version.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'd love for you guys to get involved. So if you've got any picks, if we're so wrong it infuriates you, please let us know.
Yes, tell us we're wrong. Let us argue with you.
Hit us up
Let them fight.
Yeah. Check us out on the Facebook and let us know, or the Twitter at
TGS_TheGeekShow.
# let them fight.
Also, our Tumblr is now up and running, so look for us, The Geek Show.
Yes.
And if there's something if there's a gift set of free that you need us to reblog, let us know.
Yes.
So we were The Geek Show.
Keyframe.
We are Keyframe. Yes. Dave.
I was okay. I was Dave.
I was Ben.
And I've been in the corner hiding. We'll see you all next week. Remember, we will be here every week, but don't forget, there will also be a few anime reviews on the main show, as well as here on Keyframe, so tune in to both.
Yep.
You know, The Geek Show is live every Monday from 6 to 8, and we will be up and we'll have our next show up next week as well. So
we'll see you then.
We'll see you then.
Bye.